Today, my dear faithful, is the fourth Sunday of Lent, also called Laetare Sunday. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 4. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai, engendering unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her than hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus, therefore, went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus, therefore, had lifted up his eyes, and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were sat down. In like manner also the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up, therefore, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is, of a truth, the prophet that is to come into the world. Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain, himself alone. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And Jesus took the loaves, he distributed to them that were sat down. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Almost a century ago, my dear faithful, there lived a man named Joe Stripp, who played professional baseball for 10 years. He began his career on the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1932. Joe was a good Catholic, and even during the years as a professional player, he faithfully practiced his Catholic faith. In his career, as well as before and after it, he overcame many handicaps and difficulties in life, just as everyone has. But as he himself stated, his faith was his biggest help through it all. My faith and my weekly communion, he insisted, have helped me more than anything else on earth. They have prevented me from becoming discouraged. His former roommate, a Catholic himself, testified that at least once a week, and sometimes more often, when they were on the road, Joe would get up early in the morning and go out. One day, this roommate grew curious enough, and he asked, "Joe, why do you get up so early? Why don't you sleep a little longer?" Joe replied, "I just feel like going to receive communion this morning." This same friend also testified, "Every morning and every night, Joe would kneel down right by his bedside and say his morning and night prayers. He never missed them. And to me, he was a constant influence for good." Another major league player tells us that Joe always carried his saintly medals, his rosary, and his prayer book wherever he went. And this same player said that Joe followed the Mass prayer book in hand every time, and that he was an active member of the Holy Name Society in his home parish, St. Ignatius in Brooklyn. Speaking of his happy marriage to a woman who was a convert, Joe summed up his whole life, "God has been so wonderful in showering blessings on my wife and myself that we are deeply grateful. My wife and I believe prayer has been the biggest help to us throughout it all." My dear faithful, this good Catholic man shows the importance of God Almighty in our lives. What gifts of peace and joy God alone can give, much as we see in today's gospel. The gospel tells us that a great multitude followed our Lord and the apostles. They had seen our Lord's kindness to the poor and afflicted. They had heard his words and were drawn to him. They longed to hear more, to know him better, to grow in their love for him. And so moved were they with admiration and with love, they gave no thought to bringing food for themselves. However, our Lord saw that it was getting late, and he knew that many of the people had not eaten all day. And so, knowing the crowd's trouble, he was moved to assist them in their needs. They had sacrificed themselves for him. They loved him. And so he would prove his love for them. And thus our Savior blessed the loaves and fishes, which were then distributed to the people. And all the people ate and were filled. The number that had eaten was 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. The apostles then collected what remained, and still so abundant was the love of God and his gift to his people, that there were still 12 baskets of leftovers. This miracle, my dear faithful, shows what our Lord is willing to do and loves to do for his faithful. But it is also a symbol of the Holy Eucharist. For Holy Communion is the food of our souls that our Lord foresaw that we would need. Our Savior knew that he must suffer and die for our redemption, that he would rise 3 days later to show forth his glory, and that it was all a victory in the end. But then, finally, he would ascend into heaven. He would be with us only so long, visible to so few people compared to the millions who would follow after him, who would always need to rely on him throughout the following centuries. Our Savior foresaw our need for him, for the presence of Christ, for the spiritual food that he provides for our souls, and thus he instituted the Holy Eucharist. Thus, like the people in the gospel who had no food, our Savior foresaw our need and predicament. He foresaw our need for him in the Blessed Sacrament, our need for this spiritual food. In fact, it is his greatest desire to remain in the Holy Eucharist, to be there whenever we need him, and so we can be united to him through this sacrament. To help us understand what the Blessed Sacrament does for our soul, we can compare it to what food does for our body. For like ordinary food, the Holy Eucharist repairs the health of the soul that is lost through sin. It strengthens the soul by uniting us more closely to God, and it sustains life by fortifying us against temptation. Our Savior gives himself to us as food, not so that we will turn him into ourselves, but so that we may become more and more like him. By receiving this sacrament often, then, and with the proper dispositions, we will be strengthened against falling into mortal sin, nor will we commit venial sin as often. The Holy Eucharist aids us against sadness and sorrow when we face trials and crosses, because this sacrament is a foretaste of heaven. It gives us a taste of heavenly joy and bliss that we are there with God Almighty. Just as Joe Stripp attested, for his faith and his weekly communion helped him more than anything else on earth. As he stated, these great gifts prevented him from becoming discouraged and helped him persevere throughout the crosses of his life. But it is true, fallen human nature, it is all too easy to forget this fact, the importance of God Almighty, and especially Holy Communion. And we may be tempted to receive Holy Communion more out of routine than with the necessary devotion and love we should always have when we receive it. Let us use today to then renew our resolve to strive to renew our devotion to the Holy Eucharist. Let us receive Holy Communion as frequently as we can, and let us remember to prepare ourselves well to receive this wonderful sacrament. Prepare yourself for Holy Communion by your daily prayers, especially your daily rosary, and strive to remain in the state of grace and avoid even deliberate venial sin, so that you may receive as many graces as possible from Holy Communion. On the days you can't receive our Lord, I encourage you as well to make a spiritual communion. A spiritual communion is nothing more than a desire to receive our Lord in Holy Communion with faith and love. It only takes a few moments, just a minute or two, to make this proper spiritual communion. And in fact, you can make it throughout the day. And it has been said by many spiritual writers that you can gain almost as many graces and a fervent spiritual communion as you would in actually receiving our Savior in the Blessed Sacrament. As you say your morning prayers, just add a short act of spiritual communion by asking our Lord to come into your soul as if you had received him in the Holy Eucharist, and then ask to unite all you do throughout the day to our Lord and his Sacred Heart. And then spend just a few moments with our Savior, for he will be there with you. These spiritual communions are the best way to prepare yourself for making an actual communion. For if you are longing to receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, how great will your devotion be when he is there physically present within you? Let us then, my dear faithful, increase our devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. Let us realize, as Joe Stripp and his wife did, that prayer and our God Almighty is our greatest help in life. Then you will surely follow his example in devoutly living your faith and saying your daily rosary. And then, like Joe, you'll find that this will be your greatest help not to be discouraged, to persevere in carrying your cross, no matter what life presents you. It will be such a help to you to cheerfully carry your cross in trials of life. For God will shower many blessings upon you. And thus, as we rejoice today, as we read for the introit of today's Mass, rejoice with joy, you that have been in sorrow, that you may exult and be filled with consolation. I rejoice at the things that were said to me, and thus we will go to the house of the Lord. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.